The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Today's show, real estate in the historic districts of Phoenix, Arizona. My guest is Vicki McDermott Rupp with North & Co. She is a preferred realtor for Helping the People's Homes for Veteran program. And Helping the People is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and licensed real estate company. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to veterans who want to buy homes or need home improvements for service-connected injuries. Our preferred realtors are selected because of their professionalism, knowledge, personality, how they treat their clients, and the number one quality, I'd let my mom work with them. They each have been showcased on our podcast so you can get to know them on a deeper level than just a photo, an advertisement, tagline, or statistic. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, please contact us at 833-694-6636. That's 833-MY-HOME-6. Or visit our website at everythinghomepodcast.com. I promise you'll have the best real estate experience of your life. And remember, just being conscious of your choices and buying decisions will change a veteran's life. It's time we help those who served for us. Vicki, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Michelle. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. You are one of my favorite agents that I've worked with, and you're also one of our preferred agents that are part of the Helping the People's nonprofit realtor program that supports veterans. That's one of the main reasons why we're having you on the show, is to showcase your talents and why you're so unique and extremely professional that we've invited you in to be part of our program, where anyone that requests to work with you, that referral fee of 25% of the commission gets donated to the organization so we can help veterans buy homes and support them financially to do home improvements for their service-related injuries. So I really appreciate you being a part of that program and supporting the cause that we're trying to help those that did serve us. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, and I am honored, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Before we got on the air, you told me that you might be doing a home inspection. Are you doing the home inspection right now?
Well, I am on site at the home inspection. And, you know, one of the things that is so important for a home buyer, whether first time or multiple time home buyer, is have the home that you're proposing to purchase well inspected by certified, not only home inspectors, but roofers, plumbers. Resale homes are just that. And so you want to know everything you can possibly know about the home you're going to purchase. and what kind of condition it's in.
I think today's episode's actually rather unique. So I've got like an on-location roving reporter saying live break. You know, breaking news. This just in. Vicky's down at a home inspection today. So before we actually go into talking about the home inspection, let everybody know the areas that you specialize in.
I'm really not a crazy person, but I live in a nearly 100-year-old home in downtown Phoenix in a historic district called FQ Story. A lot of people are familiar with Willow and Encanto Palmcroft and Windsor Square, and these are all part of the City Beautiful campaign that was started back in the early 1900s. So we have homes in the area that were built as long ago as 1912, and with most of them having been built in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Historic homes and vintage homes kind of come with their own unique character. That's why people love them. And they also come with the intrinsic value that was built into the homes at the time. And hopefully the people that have lived in them and loved them have maintained them. So that, I always feel like I'm a steward of this home, just like the four people that owned it before me.
You work there in that area, specialize in it, and you live in one of those homes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So when you approach the downtown historic areas, you know, my thoughts are always, you know, come with eyes wide open. They're beautiful. They're charming. Everyone has an opportunity, you know, anyone who wants to come to one of the historic tours. FQ Story has a tour at Christmas time. Roosevelt has a tour just before us. We just finished the Coronado Historic District tour. So you can, you know, get a feel for what they're like. And, you know, they all have their own flavor and unique style. So it's kind of a fun thing to come and do. There's 35 that are actually designated historic districts. Most of them are centered from 15th Avenue, maybe over to 17th Avenue, to 16th Street, above and below the I-10 freeway. You'll find many of the districts that I just talked about. And then you can jump up a little further north, a little bit north of Camelback and Central, take you into Windsor Square, and then going straight up Central between 7th Avenue and 7th Street up to, and including Dunlap, you'll get into North Central. So those homes fall into that category of they started those in the 50s. So they're a little bit beyond a historic designation, but also gorgeous, lovely vintage homes.
Pros and cons to these. You might have, you know, trees and grass as opposed to most neighborhoods where you're looking at desert landscaping and everything is beige.
Sitting in, you know, up and down the streets, you will see where we're starting to see a turn to more water conservation, and so there's still more trees and a little bit more turf than you will see in newer communities, but you see a lot of people with a conservative approach to water here, and it's certainly being encouraged by the City of Phoenix too.
Do you have to get special authorization because you're in designated historic districts in order to do any improvements to the house?
Well, everyone has to follow the City of Phoenix, you know, permit process. That just goes without saying. And it's right now, it's very high on the list of the Department of Real Estate for, you know, making sure that whatever you do for a home is permitted within whichever city you live in. Where the historic designations play a role is if you want to be able to take advantage of the 50% tax discount, then you must have the front and windows and elements of your home still be a historic asset. so I'm not dodging the question in any way, because certainly lots of people put in whatever they want, and they are allowed to do that. It's just whether you want to have that historic value. It's preferred to work with the Department of the Historic Preservation Office, and it's certainly a kind of value to these homes that we don't want to lose.
You brought up a good point, which is windows. Is there a certain type of window that you can replace there?
If you look at historic homes, their windows, their window sashes, the style of windows were very critical. So there are alternatives to replacing the lovely old wood-framed windows, both with energy efficiency, for lack of a better term, kind of a filler that can be placed inside the windows, and it's quite effective energy efficiency wise, as well as you don't really see it. A lot of companies now are making replacement windows that have a lot of the same characteristics, whether it's a 5-light or a 9-light or a 6-light, that give a very good effect. There are alternatives to, you know, taking out the beautiful old casement windows and still having the value of an efficient house. It's definitely something to review before you decide you're going to throw in the towel. I have a fabulous blogger named Scott Seidler that, you know, if anyone's interested in his tips, he does wonderful restoration and has some great articles on windows in particular.
We've only been in the conversation for a few minutes, and I have learned so much about the historic areas. I want to express to people that it is so important and critical. When you determine what area you want to move to, you really need somebody who specializes in that area. Within just a few minutes, you've pointed out several things, and you can't learn that overnight. That's something that you have to like eat, breathe, and live in, and especially by living down there, you see all these things.
We have the utmost respect for our counterparts in other areas. And, you know, Phoenix has grown into such a large place that to be able to represent certain kinds of builders or homes in areas, you know, it's just really a good thing to get a local area expert wherever you are.
What are some of the things that really gravitate people to this area?
Well, I would say that, you know, here you're going to see homes that, you know, were the original small bungalows of a two-bedroom, one-bath, starting at about 1,100 square feet on, a very charming bungalow, the craftsman-style homes, both small and large, went up to include 4 and 5 bedrooms and up to about 3,000 square feet. You will find in each of the districts a variety of sizes and prices. And like everything else, I can say because of the notoriety of the areas and the demand for the areas, our prices have risen. Downtown Phoenix, ASU, all the activity that is, you know, drawing people here, causing homeowners to give a new look being in downtown Phoenix or near downtown North Central areas. You would find, depending on what area you're in, probably most of the homes starting at about 300,000. There are occasionally some a little below. And I would say that our median price right now as of 2018 in the area is about 350,000. You will find several areas that have up to $1 million and a little above. So it just depends what size and area you want to be in. And I think there's a home value for everyone. The things I think that attract people to the neighborhoods are The homes are charming. The streets are beautiful. The neighborhoods are diverse. We see a variety of, you know, families, professionals, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. We have some of everyone. And so it's kind of that hometown feeling. I think that's the big attraction, you know, that we are neighborhoods and we watch out for each other and front porches and, you know, it's a feel-good place.
When they built these homes, there was no standard floor plan or standard style, right?
People may or may not know that a lot of these houses actually were patterned after the kits in Sears and Roebuck catalogs. The small homes of the 20th century were actually kit houses. And so it's like our log cabins of today. Many of the homes here actually did have a pretty consistent floor plan. Now they've been changed a lot. They've been added to, and there have been lots of different renovations to many of the homes over the years. But I think that's kind of a unique thing to know, that people could order a house from a catalog.
Why don't you give the listeners an idea on how this area actually became the history behind that? Because this, to me, is probably the most fascinating part of all of it.
It really started with the Office of Preservation that both in the United States as well as in the city of Phoenix, there is an Office of Preservation and a Preservation Trust. So you'll see sometimes these houses have a plaque on them that say they're a part of the National Historic Preservation. But the city of Phoenix in the late 60s, early 70s began the process of looking at the homes that had been built prior to 1940s and said, we really need to protect and preserve as much as we can these neighborhoods. And that's really where the historic designations were started. And each one of the districts was done at slightly different times. In FQ Story, we were built in the early 20s to middle 30s. So because there was a stopping point there when we hit the Depression, like everything else, building stopped here. And so in these later years, in the 70s, when the I-10 freeway was designed, it took a lot of the neighborhoods. There, you know, at one time where the I-10 is, there were hundreds of homes that were taken out. And so at that point, the department or the Office of Preservation said, okay, it's time, we've got to do something here. So that's kind of where it got started. Yeah, we have a double gable Tudor revival, and, you know, you'll see as the styles change, just like they do today. When they first started building homes, they built many, many of the bungalows and craftsman-style homes, and then that began to fall out of favor. And you'll then the years go by and you see more Spanish revival and Tudor revival. And then when we get to the 40s, you'll see more of the little, the beginning of the ranch style house.
Now, is that when the floor plans became larger, they had more functional use, where they added maybe that second bathroom and some larger closet space?
Well, I wouldn't say you're going to ever find larger closet space here. That's one of the things you just have to say, well, it's part of the charm. And you install, you know, beautiful wardrobes and, you know, other kinds of storage. But the ranch-style homes in these areas are actually smaller homes. You see most of them. Now, if they may have been added on to because they're more simple to add on to than some of the other shaped homes.
What is the average size lot that most of these homes are on compared to the cookie cutter subdivisions, where you're lucky if you're on 6,000, 7,500 square feet somewhere
right
in there?
And the answer is it depends on which of the areas you're in. For example, Garfield and Coronado, you'll be on smaller scale lots on some of the streets. You'll be on a 6,000 square foot lot. On some of the streets, you'll be on a 7,500 square foot lot. If you come over to FQ Story in Roosevelt, you probably start at about 9,500 square foot lot. So it just varies, not only from area to area, but when they were built, because some of the surrounding, you know, got larger and some actually got smaller.
So was there a specific builder that did certain areas of homes?
If you drive down the street that I live on, it's called Willetta, West Willetta. And the very first house that was built here was a Georgian. It's the only one in the neighborhood. It's a two-story, beautiful white, black sashes and a bright red door. It was recently restored and then some addition done. And that was the first home, and it was the model home. And then there were several others, and you have to look at the whole, you can see the history through the office preservation, which houses were built. They were fairly typical, like we are today. There would be a developer, for example, in FQ Story, Francis Quarles Story, who our neighborhood is named after. He designed and developed the Sun-Kissed Orange. And he literally came over here and said, we're going to, you know, because Arizona was a big citrus area, I'm going to get involved with developing a neighborhood. And so that's how those developers came along. Most people know the Heard Museum. Dwight D. Heard, you know, was the main developer of the Encanto area. He worked with other builders. Each one of the districts has a story that kind of goes along like that. So a little bit, much like our development today. And then they hired builders and, you know, coordinated the infrastructure and the homes to be built.
You said you're at a home inspection. Where is the home located? And let's talk about the age and then obviously some of the things that people need to be aware of in a home inspection in general, but also in these historic areas.
I think that many of the critical things we don't necessarily see because they're below ground. This is an area that has foundations, joists, and piers below the floors. And oftentimes there will be a part of the house that has a basement. So that's always one of the first critical things that is very different from construction today. Those can be very, very expensive items, you know, if you have to get under a house to actually give it support again. So that's always my first big question. And you can tell, you know, as you're walking through something that maybe still has its original wood flooring, but it might not, you know, but that foundation and that structure is still under there. So that would be a little bit different. But just on any age house, it's all of the things that have happened around it. It's water penetration, termites, of course, anything that can damage from the ground up. And, you know, you look at the house through all of the different systems. So most of the homes that I've encountered here in our historic districts have been converted with air conditioning and upgraded heating systems. Most of the time you'll see they've gone away from the old electric knob and tube wiring to conventional and upgraded to today. But even the example of our own house was part of the house was still on knob and tube. It's not a bad thing as long as you don't have insulation over the top of it, as long as you're not using modern electric appliances and modern electric lighting. So you can see that those are where the changes need to occur on a historic home to make it, you know, bring it up to date. You want to use your hair dryers and you want to be able to use things that are important to us today.
Now, do you find that someone can get a house that's redone and some of them that's almost really needs to be gutted and done all the work?
I mean, I think the answer is that when I look at buyer, is I look for the value that has been added to the house. It may not be the prettiest, but it has been, you know, a new electric panel and the house has been rewired. The air conditioning and venting system has been modernized. The roof, because Arizona is so hard on all roofs, there's nothing that lasts forever. So I look for those big value items during the inspection process. And to answer your question, I think you'll find all stages of remodeled and restored. So for some people, you know, restoration isn't enough to them because it still looks old. So it depends. It really depends on what people want, you know, their surroundings to be like. You know, I think it's important that we realize that everybody wants to live in the home that is makes them feel good. So changes need to occur sometimes.
Some of those areas that are further north than you, they have the old style, like a ranch home. It looks exactly the same, but you open the door and then all of a sudden you feel like you walked into a brand new model home. Is that very common in the historic area, or when people do these remodels, restorations to bring in the new items, they try to keep a lot of it as authentic as it was prior to with the floor plans and the improvements?
I think the answer is both. We're starting to see a trend to, you know, bringing modern into vintage areas. Coronado has really led the way on that. So you'll see some, you know, either close to all brand new houses, inside and outside, as well as where they've left the shell of the exterior. So it still has a vintage flavor and you walk in the door and it is very modern. And there's another school of thought that says, let me use the best of both worlds, bringing the modern use and floor plans into the exterior shell that still looks like the charming little home or the charming large home, as well as, you know, things where people have really kept the history in mind. So it's all over the board.
The way that they're doing it now, it sounds like there's a blend.
For me personally, I look for a home that has a restoration instead of wiping out the historic feel inside or outside. But that's my personal preference, and I can have you know, what other people are happy with is might be different than what I see, my vision. So I think a home is your own vision.
The prime properties, they go pretty quick, right?
They do, right. And you know, a little earlier you asked the question, you know, how many days on market, what kind of activity is going on here, and it is very, very aggressive. It's very brisk. So my goal and hope for anyone who is looking in any neighborhood, especially in here in Phoenix Metro, is be prepared, be organized, have your lender partner totally on top of your buying needs. And, you know, because if a home comes on the market and it has wide appeal, you will be in, if you're not first there, you're likely to be in a multiple offer situation.
Do you see that on a lot of these homes where all of a sudden, let's just say the house started at $350 on the market for a day or so, it gets bombarded with potential buyers and boom, next thing you know, it's multiple offers and the house is now $375. I mean, are you seeing a lot of that?
You know, I don't necessarily see the escalation of prices. As a listing agent, I look for the most qualified buyer with a solid lender, and that's my preference. I'm not looking for somebody to come in and go pie in the sky. We still want to see appraised value. I don't see it escalating the prices as much, and our appraisal process keeps everybody honest.
Sounds like the owners of these homes have such pride of ownership, and there's an attachment there, more so than just a house. They want someone that is going to buy the home to appreciate it for the history and the story that goes with the house. So do you take that into consideration too? You want to be able to find the buyer that really loves the home the way that the existing owner does?
And you have to remember, a listing agent is just that. We are an agent for the seller. And it is the seller that will always make the decision, you know, given here's the information about the people and their ability financially. It's an emotional purchase or sale. And I think we would be kind of foolish to think that people don't want somebody to carry on their beautiful home. So I would always say that a seller is going to lean to someone that resonates to them. But let's be very clear. It's going to be someone who's going to have a good, strong lending partner and someone who has a good financial ability. And then they'll layer on top of, do you love my house the way I love my house?
Is there anything else that you think is critical that people should be aware of in that area?
So many things that make the area unique. Certainly its proximity and flexibility to getting to other parts of the valley, downtowns, and, you know, this area to get to, you know, maybe you do work someplace on the west side or in the East Valley. I do see a lot of folks, you know, looking at where do I now need to commute to, and it's really amazing how quickly you can get places from this area. And of course, don't forget, getting the light rail is growing, and it's certainly a nice transportation feature that not all other parts of Phoenix Metro, Scottsdale, have. So it certainly adds to that. And, you know, the vibrancy and the growth, just it continues. I mean, we are seeing so much value coming to the area. Park Central becoming, you know, it's sat as a bunch of blacktop for many, many years. And it's now, you know, being developed into a thought area and new usages. So we're seeing a lot of some of our older areas here really being rethought through and repurposed. So I think it's a very exciting place to be.
It's located next to so many things. It's a quick light rail or an Uber ride to get to a lot of the places if you need to, as opposed to, you know, always getting in the car. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of that diversity major cities across the country have. We get isolated in our subdivisions with our block walls, a little bit more dealing with interaction, which is a nice change.
I believe that to really be getting to know your neighbors and being out and about in the neighborhood where we still have small, if you'll call them mom and pop restaurants and places that have been here forever, and people coming in and establishing that same kind of feeling where you don't use, of course you see chains of coffee shops and restaurants, but you also see places like McGurkey's and the Persian Room and families that have established places for 30, 40 years.
I really appreciate you coming on today. If you'd like to give your contact information, because you are one of the best agents that I've ever worked with that really knows that downtown area. Please give your contact information so anybody wants to go ahead and be in that area. Vicki is definitely the woman that you need to contact because she will make sure that you are well represented.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Really easy, as long as you spell my first name right, Vicki, V-I-C-K-I-E, at downtownphoenixliving.com.
Perfect. And you want to give your phone number also?
602-722-7971.
Thank you so much, Vicki. And Vicki's also one of our, you're welcome. And Vicki's one of our preferred agents with helping the people. 25% referral fee that is given to the organization goes to help veterans to buy homes and to support them for home improvements for their service-related injuries. So Vicki is one of our participating agents. She's great to work with. Take care of you for all your downtown needs. And Vicki, again, thank you very much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. You've been listening to Everything Home. Stay tuned for another episode, which will be airing on Tuesdays and Fridays. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.